I'm trying to figure out a way to talk my wife into letting me have a few ninth inning rally beers like the Red Sox did. John Lester admitting too that they did drink in the clubhouse. What happens with the Red Sox from here on out, and where do you see them going?
Well, I mean, they've already basically said they're gonna hire Bench Arrington from within to take over as GM, and I don't see a lot of changes there. I mean, will they make some personnel changes? Maybe, but they basically need Josh Beckett and John Lester if they're gonna win, and they're stuck with John Lackey most likely. So there's only so much they can do. I think that their new manager will come in, and he'll be a guy who will probably demand a bit more discipline than Terry Francona got at the end. I think that what happens sometimes is no matter who the manager is, after a while, the players just get used to him. And everybody might become a little too friendly for that situation, and you need to make a change. You know, it's always worth pointing out, though, that if the Red Sox win two more games, we're not having this conversation.
Oh, sure, yeah. How do you think they get greeted by then? Is it old news by opening day next year, and they introduce the Boston Red Sox and they step out, and Beckett and some of those guys that have been in the news a lot are introduced? Will there be mixed applause and boos, or do you think it's, hey, that happened last year, it's a fresh year, it's opening day, we love our Red Sox?
You know, I think it always comes down to performance, and John Lackey probably will get some boos because he was a part of that group and he was terrible almost all year. Lester, I mean, he's the public face at this point because he came out and talked about what happened, and I thought it seemed like was a pretty honest appraisal.
Yeah.
Didn't make himself look really terrible or really good. He struggled in September, and people remember that, but I think more people remember that he was honest and that he's generally been a really, really good pitcher for the Red Sox for a while. And as long as they start winning again and leave September behind, I think the fans will forget that pretty quickly.
Robert, a lot of the things I read about the Red Sox was they said there's no doubt that, you know, Derek Jeter's the captain and he's the leader of the Yankees, and maybe someday Robbie Cano becomes that guy. But with the Red Sox, that Veritek's on the back end, he's always been a great leader. He carries the C on the jersey. Pedroia's a leader, an example, but maybe not a real outspoken guy. And there seemed to be, at least, I guess, when a collapse, you break everything down. It seemed to be that nobody really wanted to step up in a leadership role. Is that an ongoing issue with the Red Sox?
Well, that's what people say. But again, and you touched on this a little bit, if the Red Sox had won two more games, I think people would be talking about what a great leader Jason Veritek was.
Right.
Or Dustin Pedroia or whoever else. So, you know, it's been said that winning creates good chemistry and losing creates bad chemistry. I think that's what happened. It's not the other way around. The Red Sox didn't lose because they had bad chemistry. That didn't help, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody in the organization wish they had better chemistry, and that might have made a difference. But really what it came down to was a lot of guys who usually play really well, not playing particularly well, especially the pitchers, down the stretch. And it's hard to pin the blame for that on, say, Jason Veritek or anybody else.
Talking to Rob Nyer here on the Scott Garceau Show, I want to ask you, obviously, about the World Series coming up. It's going to be a terrific matchup, two power-hitting teams. It's kind of weird thinking about it. Prince Fielder hits a three-run homer in the All-Star game, and now the Cardinals, who barely got in, they're going to be hosting and have home field here. The matchups, who has advantages, and where do you see them?
Well, despite the Cardinals having the home field advantage, the Rangers still, on paper, have a big edge in this series, and the best model or the best numbers would suggest that they're going to win this thing in six games. They have a deeper lineup, top to bottom, and I think their top four starters are a little more consistent, a little more solid than the Cardinals' top four starters. The only real advantage the Cardinals would seem to have, I think, in terms of their players, is in the bullpen, where their bullpen really goes seven or eight deep. And obviously Tony La Russa knows how to get the best out of them. I'm not sure if having seven good relief pitchers is really all that useful in a typical postseason series. The Rangers have three really reliable relievers, at least, in Nathaly Feliz, their closer, Mike Adams, their eighth-inning guy, and Alexi Ogando, who started all season and now is in the bullpen. Those three guys are usually going to be enough to protect a late-game lead for the Rangers.
What do you make of C.J. Wilson? So dominating in the regular season, that nasty slider against lefties, but yet his postseason numbers not very good.
He's probably fine. I mean, when you look at these things, usually guys bounce back about as you would expect them to from two or three rough postseason starts. Now, Sean Markham for the Brewers was an obvious exception. Was terrible in his three postseason starts and then came out and pitched game six and was terrible again, lasted one inning. But I think if C.J. Wilson is healthy, he's perfectly capable of having a couple of good starts in this series.
After the series, the offseason will hinge on some big free agent names. What happens to Pujols? I saw the Prince Fielder press conference, his final game, and he seemed to be pulled whether or not, you know, there'd be a new start, an outside chance he might stay in Milwaukee. What's your best guess this early on where those two might wind up next year?
You know, I got a tough time getting a read on Fielder. I think that there are certainly a number of teams that could use a DH or a first baseman, but they're not the teams with the big money, the Red Sox and Yankees. So it's hard to say. I do think the Cubs could really use a first baseman, are going to make a splash on the free agent market, whether it's a C.J. Wilson or Fielder or Pujols or shoot, maybe two of those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you're not going to bring in Theo Epstein as your new GM if you're not willing to commit to winning a lot of games next year.
Right.
So I wouldn't be at all surprised if somebody, one of those guys, wound up in Chicago.
Hey, looking at the Orioles, a lot of fans here like to talk about some of the offseason moves for them. You see them being players or anything? Is it all going to depend who they get as a general manager? And many fans here think it all kind of hinges upon Peter Angelos.
Well, I think that's right. But I don't see them being big players in the free agent market. I mean, they tried to be medium players last winter, and that didn't really get them anywhere. As far as big players, I mean, are you going to go out and get a Pujols or a Fielder? I really doubt it. I think the number one priority right now has to be to somehow figure out a way to consolidate or solidify that pitching rotation. If you can't get those young pitchers healthy and productive, it's not going to matter what else you do. That's got to be job one.
Agreed. Hey, Rob, tell people about SB Nation, baseball fans.
Well, SB Nation, we have a great Orioles blog people should check out. And then, of course, Baseball Nation is where we do all of our national baseball stuff, including live blogging all of the World Series games, and people can find that at baseballnation.com.
Rob, thanks. Enjoy the conversation.
You bet. Take it easy, guys.
Rob Nyer, national baseball editor for SB Nation. If you're a baseball fan, I think you'll enjoy what's there.